Judge Roy Moore, the Southern Baptist stalwart who defended the Ten Commandments and kept it from being removed from an Alabama courthouse and defended traditional marriage, was supposedly making out with a 14-year-old in the lobby of a courtroom while her mother was standing before a judge. Apparently, there were three other women as well, one of which would go on to become an interpreter for Hillary Clinton and Joe Biden. Also, people are boycotting their Keurigs. I've boycotted Keurig because I've been through two in less than a year, and my 15-year-old Mr. Coffee still works like a charm. On top of that, it costs a lot for K-cups, which are like body wash. Same thing as soap, except for you use it faster, it's more expensive, and you consume it at a rapid pace. All coming up on the Adrian Slade Show.
The presidential motorcade has just passed through heavy crowds in downtown Dallas.
Destroying the media lies and dismantling the narratives. One story at a time. It's the Adrian Slade Show.
So apparently Roy Moore is the latest to be wrapped up in this big net of Weinstein-esque sexual predators. All right, quick quiz. Who do you think wrote this? Right now it is a he said, she said situation over alleged events nearly 40 years ago. But those that know me understand that non-consensual acts are so antithetical to my values and my practices. The very idea that someone would accuse me of this is quite personally painful. Was that Judge Roy Moore? Or was that George Takei? It's George Takei. It was actually a he said, he said situation. But that's the thing. That could have been a statement put out by Roy Moore. I mean, George Takei is now another one that's right in there with the Weinstein, the Jeremy Piven, the Kevin Spacey, the Louis C.K. Sexual predator movement that's going on. But we now have this situation with Judge Roy Moore, and we're looking all into this. Although we don't know for sure, we just have about four ladies that showed up 30-some years down the road to say, oh yeah, this guy, he did some inappropriate things with me. All four didn't know each other, and on top of it, some of them worked for Joe Biden and Hillary Clinton, so it's an odd career choice some years later down the line. I don't know. I'm just saying, I'm not going for or against Roy Moore. You know, I just think that this is an interesting attack because it's very Herman Cain-esque. It's very what I call the Herman Caining. This is when you drag some women out up against a candidate who doesn't have a tremendous amount of experience on the federal level spotlight. But what you do is you bring these people out. They make allegations. I mean, well, I'm still waiting for Gloria Allred to show up at this point. I don't know where she's at. But hopefully, when we see Gloria Allred, we'll know that this is real, we'll know that it's going down, and it'll be just like Herman Cain back when he was running for president. But the funny thing is, with Herman Cain, these people that came out and said that he was inappropriate with them, they all disappeared, magically, gone, around the time that his campaign magically ended too. So one has to think, if you're going to do what you did to somebody like Herman Cain, somebody that's not in the federal political spotlight on a regular basis, and you think, okay, you can bring him down by bringing some women out, just like they tried to do to Ted Cruz. You think you can break their will enough and break their spirit and also diminish their persona in the public eye enough to where they'll just bow out of the campaign. And then it's all yours. You can do what you want. Let's write in somebody. Hey, we can, even though Luther Strange lost, even though Mo Brooks didn't even make it out of the campaign, out of the primaries, and nothing against Mo Brooks, I like him, but the thing is, if he can't even make it, and Roy Moore pulled it, why are you going to pull everything away from this guy and put in one of those two people that couldn't even pull it to go up against a Democrat so that they can lose? Or is it so that you can go ahead and keep your status quo in the Senate? Mitch McConnell will no longer have to worry about having somebody fight against him all the time. He can actually have somebody that, you know, will say and do whatever he wants. That's what he had with Luther Strange, and that's what he can get with whoever they write in after they force Roy Moore out. See, the problem is Roy Moore got really trampled on because he wasn't upholding the law, as they say. Oh, he's a judge, but he's not upholding the law. The law says you got to do this. It says you got to do that. Although he was looking at it going, I swore an oath to uphold the Constitution, and all these laws that came after are not constitutional, so I'm upholding the Constitution. Well, unfortunately, you can't really pick and choose in the judicial side of what you want to uphold because you have to interpret the law. So what you do is you then make a move to the legislative branch and start rolling back these laws. And that's what he's doing. He's basically leaving the judicial branch, and he's moving over into the legislative body if he can pull it, if he doesn't get shoved out in a Herman Cain fashion. And he's attempting to make his policy on that end. And the problem is, those same people, just like Steve D said, those same people that go out there and say, oh, well, you know, he doesn't follow the law, they're more than happy to destroy him in the court of public opinion. Maybe on Twitter, they'll just talk about him and destroy him. I mean, you've got all the major players coming out in droves that you would expect from the GOP establishment, such as Mitt Romney, who tweeted out, innocent until proven guilty is for criminal convictions, not elections. I believe Lee Korfman. Her account is too serious to ignore. Moore is unfit for office and should step aside. Well, you couldn't even make it in office, so we don't need your opinion on that. But we know you are the king of the GOP establishment. But some of the other hacks, such as Evan McMullen, who said those backing Moore must now oppose him or bear the responsibility for him. He even goes on to tweet that John McCain had said the allegations against Roy Moore are deeply disturbing and disqualifying. He should immediately step aside and allow the people of Alabama to elect a candidate they can be proud of. And that's what we run into. We've got this gaslighting effect that's happening because there is a wing of the GOP, which is the establishment, which is some of the Never Trumpers, which is some of the people that think that this guy is just some deranged person because he believes in traditional marriage and he believes in some of the things that actual pure old school conservatism would have believed in. They don't want him a part of the party because they think he is a fly in the ointment, so they want to pick him out. You got the left who already despises this guy, and then you've got people that don't know anything about him and just assume, okay, Steve Bannon backed him, and Steve Bannon and Trump are together, and even though Trump didn't endorse him, he is a Trumper, and so we need to destroy him. Well, the problem is Steve Bannon just showed up. He's kind of like that fan at the Patriots game who shows up, you know, when they're in the Super Bowl wearing all the garb. He's like, oh, yeah, go Patriots. How long have you been a fan, Steve? Just today. Yeah, you showed up in the final hour and tried to take the credit, make it seem like it was all you're doing. And the problem is there are many people that are uninformed looking at it from a 100-yard stare, and they think, oh, Steve Bannon made this guy. We shouldn't like Steve Bannon, so we shouldn't like this guy. Although he did it completely on his own. The people of Alabama like this guy. And whether or not I like him or not doesn't mean anything, because I'm not from Alabama. It means nothing to me. So my concern about this really comes down to I'm more sick of this kind of tactic being used. I mean, if this tactic works, all the crap that comes with it is all on the GOP. It's all on them. They own this dumpster fire because they were willing to, after this guy, through the proper channels, went through the primary system and won his nomination, they're going to turn around and they're going to dump all these women out and they're going to say, oh, look, here comes old, dirty old Roy Moore. He, even though he says he's a Puritan Southern Baptist Christian conservative, he's just, you know, old perv. He's doing like Harvey Weinstein back in 79 with all these women that are underage. And the problem was, we still don't know whether or not it's true. And there's things about these women that make me think they could be lying. Who knows? Yet again, like I said, I don't care either way. Roy's not a person I personally endorse. I like some of what he says. Some of it I think is nuts. But at the same time, he has a bold stance and he's not from my state. I could care less. It doesn't matter to me because we've already been through ours with Ed Gillespie and the like. We already watched that slaughter happen with lukewarm establishment types, which will be the same people they will put up against the Democrat in Alabama once they run Roy Moore out. But the gaslighting effect has begun because even though Saturday Night Live could have spent all night ripping on Louis C.K. for, you know, playing with himself in front of women, could have ripped on Kevin Spacey for outing himself and saying, hey, it's okay that I, you know, made all these inappropriate moves. I'm now gay. No, those are left on the cutting room floor. They're going to spend their night ripping on Roy Moore. And the reason is because this is a way to rip on Donald Trump. This is a way to rip on the GOP. This is the way to rip on anything outside of the resistance and outside of the Democrat Party. And so you've got to see it for what it is. This is all an attempt to destroy the GOP. And I think that this is an actual battlefield of the fall and split of the GOP. I think this is going to be something where people are so fed up with watching the establishment come through and do these smear campaigns on top of the fact that they're already done with the socialism that has engulfed the Democrat Party. These people are going to come out in droves and say, I'm tired of the GOP establishment. I'm tired of the DNC. and we're going to pick whatever's left out there. I was hoping for more of the Mike Lee Freedom Caucus, Justin Amash and Ted Cruz section, but unfortunately it's looking like it's going to go towards more Trumpism, which is going to be scary for the next season. I've got a couple guests I want to bring on, and stick with us. We've got a great one coming up with Michael, who's the head librarian from conservativelibrary.com on the other side of the break.
This is Adrian Slade.
The Adrian Slade Broadcast.
Welcome back. I've got Mike, a.k.a. Head Librarian, from conservativelibrary.com. You go check the website out, conservativelibrary.com. He can be found on Twitter at Humanity, H-U-G-H-manity. Welcome to the program, Mike. So, Mike.
What's up?
Not much, man. I mean, what do you think about this Roy Moore crap?
Yeah. So, it's pretty obvious it was fed because these women didn't know each other. None of this has come up in all these years, all his elections. It's 40 years. One of the ladies was worked on the campaign for Clinton and Biden.
Well, and that's the thing that kills me is there's...
And they didn't mention that.
Yeah, they didn't mention any of that. They went out of their way to say, well, we got a Donald Trump supporter here that voted for, which makes me think that this is a GOP hack. You know, this is an establishment hack. But the thing that kills me is, well, why didn't they say anything about the fact that this lady was an interpreter for Hillary Clinton and Joe Biden? Two
right,
of them
it's on her Facebook page.
Yeah, didn't two of them work there?
I don't know. 100%. It's just to not get him elected. 100%. This is political. 100%.
Yeah, this is what I call a Herman Caining. You know, I mean, basically, we never heard anything from those ladies again. We never saw their names. We never knew anything about them, and they just disappeared off into the night. And he had to just basically bail out of the campaign.
Yep. 100%. You're right, dude.
So, I mean, I think that's what we're looking at here. I hate to say that.
Target. Yeah, you're right on target. No, I totally agree with you.
And then when you see the people that pile on, it's ridiculous. It's like you got McCain and Evan McMullen and Romney and Rick Wills. It's the whole Never Trump.
All the establishment. All the establishment hacks.
Exactly. To me, that right there was, you know, it's because that's what happened with Herman Cain. It wasn't just the left that attacked Herman Cain. That was the interesting part about it. The left sat back and watched the right attack Herman Cain.
Right. Well, right now, the GOP's already attacking Moore.
Yeah.
They pulled their funding. They said he needs to leave. What's his name? Romney said, just with an accusation means you should drop out. It's like, what?
Yeah, I know. He's a piece of work. That guy kills
me. Oh, God. Why is he? Well, because he's part of the establishment.
Well, that's why he wants to run for. Doesn't he want to run for like Utah or senator of
something?
I don't know. Some place there where he.
I wish he'd just go away and die.
Well, and I know. And then you got people like McCain who are on their deathbed who should be hanging out with their kids, you know, like Andrew Wilkow says.
Their grandkids. And they're not. They're going with their final breath trying to destroy the conservative movement.
It's amazing. I mean,
it's terrible. They're vile, vile people.
They are.
Yeah, they're vile people.
Yeah, I didn't know if you had seen anything about that, because that's kind of something I've been watching. And really, I hate to say it, the only person that would sway me on his credibility and whether or not he was real or not would be Steve Deese, because he actually knows him really well.
Okay.
And on top of that, because he's a good friend of his, but he's also been critical of him when he says things that he shouldn't say or doesn't agree with. Like the whole, you know, if you don't stand up for the Pledge of Allegiance, then you're breaking the law. Well, I mean, that's kind of a stretch.
Yeah, that's a First Amendment thing there, but...
Yeah. But I mean, yeah. But the other thing is, the point that I loved was that he said in his first tweets about all this, he said, it's funny to me that the people that have criticized Roy Moore for not, you know, upholding the law as it is on the books are the first to basically crucify him in the court of public opinion. I'm like, you're dead on.
Yes. Let me ask you, what has Steve Deese said about him?
He's talked to Mr. Moore's wife, and he said for Roy Moore to come out and say fervently that this is fake, that this is lies, means he knows it is. And if he doubles down on it like he's doing and it comes out, he's going to ruin his credibility. But Deese seems to think that, you know, that this is just a witch hunt, too.
Mm. Well, it's just disgusting.
It is.
It's just, I like your idea of a Herman Caining, though. That's funny.
That's kind of what it looks like. I mean, I just picture a bunch of GOP establishment hacks out in the street with like canes and bats and crap.
No one knows what's going on.
No, That's the that's my biggest problem. Ben Shapiro comes out and says this guy needs to step down. You know, Jonah Goldberg already, if you listen to his podcast, he doesn't really care for him anyways because of his social views. You know, I mean, he's fervently for the Ten Commandments. He's big time against same-sex marriage. He's, you know, he's hardcore Southern Baptist biblical.
And I think that's one of the reasons they want to kill him so bad.
That's exactly the reason. You're dead right. Because
like, this is the wrong person that we want. This is exactly the kind of person they don't want.
And see, what muddies the waters here is freaking Bannon. Because everybody, those that are on the furthest outside of information, you know, the people that just kind of mildly peruse it, even within the Republican ranks, they look at it like, okay, all these tastemakers like Shapiro and Goldberg and all them, they don't like him already. And McCain and the Never Trumpers don't like him. But then they go, but I shouldn't like him because Bannon likes him. The problem is Bannon had nothing to do with his success.
Right. Bannon just said, oh, this is a rising star and jumped on it real quick.
Yeah, exactly. So now we're stuck with a good portion of the GOP establishment just trying to actively destroy him. Those who are kind of lukewarm in the GOP or uninformed automatically kind of discounting it because of it. And then you got the people that are just, I just can't stand Trump, so I'm going to not vote for him or support him because he was somebody that Trump associated with. And then you got Mike Lee's backing away. You know, I mean, and I don't think a lot of people that know him or a lot of people.
He's too cowardly.
That's the problem because it's funny how they circle the wagons. I mean, freaking Menendez. Look at that guy.
Oh, my God. He's under federal charges, man.
He might have even had sex with underage prostitutes in the Dominican Republic.
Oh, my God.
But that's okay.
One is talking about that.
And see, that's the thing is you bring it up and it's all this whataboutism. I'm like, no, this is a perfect example of how the GOP versus the DNC operate. Because the DNC will circle the wagons and run cover for their people. The GOP just throws them out to the wolves, unless it's somebody who is like a Luther Strange, you know, somebody that they can manipulate and they can kind of go, okay, well,
he's a puppet.
He was a puppet the whole time. See, they kind of thought they got that out of Donald Trump to a degree because they said he's malleable and that they can get him to do things. But now it's just, I kind of think what we're seeing right now with Roy Moore, this could be a dividing battle. Like this battle could explode to a point where if he pushes through, because the Trumpers are just because somebody associated with Trump at some point, they love Roy Moore to death. And just because the establishment is now setting their sights on him, they're energized. Yeah, they love him even more. So I think this could really be, without him even wanting it to be, this could actually be the physical split of the party that we thought was coming. That we thought Trump would bring, but he didn't.
You know, that's a good observation, and it wouldn't surprise me, and it would probably be healthy to get all this out in the air, out in the public, put the light on it. I have to go because my wife's working, and I'm sitting on my butt in the grass.
It's all right. Yeah, you just get back to work, Mike. Help out your wife.
All right, bye, dude.
All right, brother. See ya. That's Mike from conservativelibrary.com, the head librarian. Go to the website. We'll be back in a moment.
This is Adrian Slade.
So the next boycott seems to be Keurig. Yeah, that's right. The K-Cup. You know, the funny thing about Keurig, I own one. That thing sucks. It was given to me as a gift, and that thing died probably twice. It always has an issue. I got to clean the death out of it. It's the most high-maintenance coffee machine to just give me one cup per serving. I mean, seriously, my Mr. Coffee had that thing for 15 freaking years, and that thing will never die. And it puts out coffee at 6 a.m. every morning. Does not fail. Doesn't say, oh, the pressure is too high or the needle needs to be cleaned and I got to dump solution in. So, you know, I don't really care. Apparently, they pulled their advertisement over Sean Hannity from Fox News, his support for Roy Moore. They pulled their advertising because they got enough people on Twitter mad about it. And the funny thing is, it's not like the Keurig people aren't lefties anyways. I mean, the one guy, it was like Frankenstein. It was like he created this thing and he's like, oh, this is great. I created the K-Cup. Oh, double drats. Oh, man, I just messed up the environment because now everybody's going through these K-Cups and nobody's recycling them. And it's causing all this landfill issue, and now he's just, you know, really all out of sorts about it. I mean, the guy is just thinking he is against the environment over being somebody that is... The guy thinks he is the death to the environment because of his K-Cup creation. I mean, the guy's nuts. So, I mean, obviously, Keurig would have found any reason to pull their ad from anything conservative. But the fact that we are taking a knee and boycotting just about everything under the sun, we're kind of running out of stuff to boycott. I mean, at a certain point, I get why we do it, because the problem is nobody's really listening. Everybody's injecting their socialism and their progressivism into everything in society, and we just have to sit there and take it to a point where we go, I've had enough. I'm going to vote with my dollar, since nothing else seems to be getting through with these people. But, and that's fine. That's the only way that we actually have a chance to make a voice heard, to actually vote, is to vote with our dollar on this situation. But, you know, at a certain point, you're going to run out of stuff to boycott. At a certain point, you may want to think about looking at competition. You know, just don't simply go out there and boycott. You know, I mean, Target, I can't not go to Target because my wife wants to go to Target. And for you single men out there, if you want to find the best way to meet a woman, don't do Tinder. Don't swipe left or right. Don't sit there and worry about eHarmony. Go to the card aisle in Target, and you're going to meet the hottest chicks. And a lot of them are sometimes single. They're just buying a I really appreciate our friendship card for their female friend, their BFF. So that's where you go. But I'm telling you, we still go to Target, and I cannot stop going there, even though they want to do this crazy bathroom thing. I just know when I have my kids, I'll take the family bathroom. Yeah, I've boycotted NFL, but I did that more because I think the NFL has a big ego. It thinks its crap don't stink, and it can do whatever it wants and shove its progressivism down the throats of the people who consume it and view it and are fans of it, because they don't think those people will ever walk away. But they will, obviously. And maybe that lesson needs to be learned by somebody. You know, the news media, they've been doing this for years. Their ratings are in the crapper all the time, but they don't care. They're going to spin, and they're going to put their news in the way that they want it all the time. And we just have to sit there and take it, and they don't care. Ratings be damned. But that's the thing. In situations like Keurig, in situations like Target, just go to the competition and support the competition. You don't have to just sit there and boycott it all together. But, you know, I just see these people making these claims and statements, and they're just, we're going to boycott it all. Okay, we'll do that. Pick your battles, though. Find the ones that really will be impactful. Find the ones that actually make a difference, like the NFL. I think that makes a bigger statement to everybody across America when something like the NFL is affected. I mean, Keurig, come on. If you like Keurig, use Keurig. If you don't, go buy a coffee pot. But just because they pull their ads, it's like the CMAs. I sat there and watched the whole CMAs, and I didn't even want to watch it. I don't even like country music, most of it. I like the traditional. I like Johnny Cash and, you know, your Waylon Jennings. I don't really care for this new country garbage. And my wife was watching it, and I'm sitting there just kind of not really paying attention to it, but I'm not scoffing at it. And they start to, you know, they make this joke about, well, we can't make any jokes on politics. You know, the writers told me, the producers told me not to do that. And so what does he do? You know, Brad Paisley and Carrie Underwood start ripping on Trump and start ripping on Hillary and start ripping on politics. And it's kind of humorous, actually, because they didn't pick a side. They weren't pushing a progressive agenda. They weren't attacking anybody. They were just kind of ripping like you would at a roast. I mean, you just have a little fun with it. It wasn't like some of the ones we did on shows in the past, like the, you know, the Super Bowl and the Emmys and the Grammys where and the MTV Music Awards, where you knew it was just a slam. It was basically, I'm going to shift the way of thinking and the perception of my audience to hate Trump. This was more just ribbing that you would do at any event. I mean, it was really not really that bad. But you know what? In the back of my mind, because, I mean, had it gotten to that point, as much as I hate country music, I would have turned it off on the music alone. So I actually kind of laughed at some of the stuff they did. I mean, it wasn't the funniest stuff in the world, but it was, you know, it was humorous. But that's the thing. In the back of my mind, I said, I wonder if I log on Twitter if I'm going to see boycott Carrie Underwood and boycott CMAs. And there it was. Boy, without a doubt, right on cue, boycott CMAs, boycott Carrie Underwood. Brad Paisley, you're so awful because you hate Trump and blah. You guys got to lighten up out of there. You got to lighten up. You're going to be the new snowflakes. You are the new butthurts to where anybody that criticizes dear leader, dear Cheeto Jesus, is going to end up being somebody who is going to cause you to just get mad out of sorts. It's why I don't follow a politician. I follow an idea, values, and principles. That's why, you know, if Ted Cruz is going to turn on me, so be it. You know, if Rand Paul is going to do it, so be it. So just keep that in mind when you're boycotting everything under the sun. At a certain point, you're going to have something on your plate that you're going, wow, I've got nothing left to boycott. I've got nothing left to buy. I've got nothing left to shop. And realize there's people out there that are actually taking advantage of your scene, as Joy Vila showed. You know, you think she just showed up with a magical dress on when her publicist and her manager is a lobbyist for Washington, D.C., and is a Scientologist? I mean, she hijacked your cause. She got a ton of iTunes spins and ratings out of the deal. She sold music left and right, all because you guys wanted to go MAGA, MAGA, and just start following anybody that supported your dear leader. You must worry about this big time, because that is not a healthy way to operate. And it's going to fall apart if your leader falls apart. I'm Adrian Slade. Thanks for tuning in. You can listen every Saturday in the morning, 9 a.m., Talk America Radio. You can listen every Sunday, 8 a.m. on Talk American Radio, both Eastern Standard Time. You can hear my podcast on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Play, TuneIn app, Spreaker. Find my free Roku web channel on the Roku streaming store, the Adrian Slade Show Roku channel. You can also read my blog at adriansladeshow.com. We'll see you next time. God bless. Good night.